This week's mailbag comes to us from Amanda. I am so glad to have finally bought myself the gift of a planner. I loved the planner video, and I limped in a DIY combo of it and the Sunday basket the last 100 days. In that experiment, I found out, yes, a plain post-it will get the job done. But I am not unique in liking pretty things, and so I wanted your graphics to help change the I can'ts and I shouldas and never enoughs in my brain into the this is my focus and planned neglect and good, better, and best goals. It's an expense, yes, but I'd rather spend the money on an experiment to see if it does encourage me or help me get my head in an organizing mood. And even dream about goals for next season and accomplish those goals this season. Also, I was looking around and yours is really unique in that a lot of business ones are quarterly or even yearly. In fact, really, a whole year is overwhelming and quarterly is just too often for this mama. But semesters? Like Goldilocks, they are just right. So here I go with my planner and Google Calendar. My good goal is using the planner to plan my weeks 2 times a month. Better is 3 times, and best is weekly. So this leaves space for the weeks where I may miss my Sunday basket, or 100 days, or kids' vacation. You name it, but I am hoping it helps me see my time as valuable and should be spent on the people and values that are important to me. Thank you, Amanda.
If you have an Organized 365 success story, share it with us. Send us an email at lisa@organized365.com and tell us how you've taken back your home, your paper, and your life. Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. I hope you liked that re-airing of my podcast about how I broke down how the magic art of tidying up does not work for American women. I recorded that years ago. It's a Huffington Post article that I have. And really, I'm not saying that KonMari doesn't work and Marie Kondo doesn't have a lot of great benefits. She does, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, anyone that could sell 9 million copies of a book and get Americans to start decluttering stuff like it is their job, yeah, hats off to you. Great job, Marie. It's awesome. However, there are a few things that don't really work with the KonMari method, and specifically this idea of sparking joy. So if you are on any social media platform whatsoever, you have seen all the memes of people going into their offices and going, this doesn't spark joy, and throwing away their computer and all of their papers off of their desk. And or there are memes at home where parents go into children's toy rooms and they just get rid of all the toys, or they go, you know, they just get rid of all the things because it doesn't spark joy. And I really want to talk about this idea of sparking joy. And I hope you did listen to the replay of that Marie Kondo episode that published right before this one, because there is a huge difference in how Marie views items and Americans view items if they do not have that Asian influence. So a lot of what Marie does is based on her religion. And in her religion, items have energy and they have feelings, which is why she always says thanks them for their service and then, you know, donates them or puts them in the trash. And truth be told, the other day I looked at something that I was getting rid of and I was like, you know, that thing really served me for a long time. And I did say, thank you for your service. And then I put it in the trash. So I do understand that idea that stuff has a purpose for us when we acquire it, when we get it, and we can let it go with grace. And Marie does that in a way that is very true to her culture and her religion. And so some of what she does gets missed in translation, partly because she doesn't know English and partly because she doesn't understand the American woman. Likewise, if people in Japan were listening to my podcast, they might be, she totally disregards her things. She would think the way that I treat things is not culturally appropriate based on how they treat things. But I want to specifically talk about what do we do with items that don't spark joy? Because flat out, Americans have more stuff than the people in Japan do. And I tell you what, you know who beats us all? Australians. They have bigger houses than we do. They have even more stuff than we do. We have so much stuff. We have so much more stuff than we need. And there have been many times on the podcast where I have said, I am not a minimalist. I'm not a hoarder. I'm not a minimalist. I am somewhere in the middle. And I think that people who adhere to minimalism or really want to live a really not a lot of stuff lifestyle love the Marie Kondo message. And for those of us that are middle-aged with kids and a dog and a 2,400 square foot house and three different jobs and two different volunteer opportunities, we've got a lot of stuff going on. And sparking joy, it's like, I don't remember what sparked. I haven't stopped long enough to think about if things spark joy. Like, that would involve me stopping and thinking. I just keep going and going and going. So part of figuring out if items spark joy is stopping long enough to think about them and decide if this is something that you need. But the other thing about items that spark joy is I think what Marie is saying is it useful? Does it feel good? And does it have happy memories associated with it, not negative memories associated with it? So that's how I'm going to define sparking joy. Something that feels good, has happy memories associated with it, and is useful. And the item that we're going to dive into, spoiler alert, is paper. Specifically because in Marie's book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidy Up, she says, "My basic principle for sorting papers is to throw them all away. My clients are stunned when I say this, but there is nothing more annoying than papers. After all, they will never spark joy, no matter how carefully you meet them, you keep them." And her like four teeny tiny page chapter in The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up about paper basically reiterates this fact. Discard everything. She writes it like five different times. Discard everything. Get rid of them all. You should have no papers. And what I want to say to that is, I don't know culturally. Are papers different in America than they are in Japan? Because I will tell you this, I can't function as an American woman, business owner, wife, mother, homeowner without paper. I physically can't. And you could scan things, but she doesn't say to do that. You could scan items, but for me, you can't scan them until you organize them. So you're going to have to deal with paper, and the answer is not to discard them all. I will agree, 85% of the papers you have in your house are shreddable, but you got to figure out what 85%, and it still leaves us with 15% that are not. So what are we going to do with that 15% that are not? I view paper as necessary, profitable, and it should be portable. So I look at paper as necessary, profitable, and it should be portable. And I have two tips for you to sort all of the paper in your house into necessary, profitable, portable storage solutions. I don't want you to think right now about the stress of organizing your paper and the decision-making process. That is very non-sparking joy-ish, right? I mean, there is work. And I would say that when you're looking at items, when you're going through the KonMari method, you're deciding if an item sparks joy, not necessarily joyful that you have to make the decision, right? So I think we can all agree that the process of decluttering and getting organized, while it is extremely enjoyable for me, may not be enjoyable for everyone. So we're not going to talk about the decision. Let's just physically talk about the paper. And the idea that there is nothing more annoying than papers, they will never spark joy no matter how carefully you keep them, I want to change your mindset on paper. Paper is, I mean, I can sweat just thinking about it. It's overwhelming because paper has so much meaning, especially in the United States. It is paper that can help you get better services for your kids, help you settle your estate, provide quick information faster than looking it up somewhere else. It can help you save money. Like, paper can do so many good things for you. And I want you to keep thinking about the usefulness of paper. And as you touch each piece of paper, instead of saying, does this spark joy? I want you to say, is this still useful for me, my family, advocating for us, and our future needs? Like, is this paper still useful? And for the majority of homes that I've organized and people who've gone through my programs, about 15% is, which leads to huge piles that are shreddable and recyclable. I think that there is a, not a disconnect, but maybe a false rule that is made in your head that when you recycle and shred a lot of paper, like from the mail or from the kids' backpacks, or when you're going through old binders or when you're going through the filing cabinet, there's this little voice in your head that says, see, you didn't need it and you saved it, so I don't even know why you bother with this paper stuff anyway. Instead of seeing the 3, 4, 5, or 10 pieces of paper that were extremely important and the 50 or 75 that you just totally got rid of, and looking at those 5 to 10 and saying, wow, I'm so glad that I found the few actionable papers in this pile. Now I can take action on those. Like, retraining your mind and your thoughts around paper is huge, because even if you do go digital and you get everything digital, the paper is not going to stop. One of my favorite things is talking to young married couples once, and they can stay paperless while the kids are babies, but once that child enters school, I was a school teacher. I know the kind of paper we can generate. No, we have not gone paperless. Occasionally, a little bit, but you know, we really, really, really love paper. And if you're the teacher, we laminate it because we want to keep it forever. Paper is our jam. So you put your child in first grade and you have everything digital on your paper, on your computer. And maybe the first year or two, when that one child is going to school, you're able to process through the backpack real quickly and return anything that has to go back to school. Maybe even take photographs of all of the artwork that they do and you digitize it. But when you have child number 2 or number 3 enter school, that paper tsunami hits, and pretty soon you're like, I give up. Like, I mean, really, how many pumpkin drawings can we possibly do? Like, there's just too much paper. So think about the usefulness of paper and set up paper storage solutions for you that are duplicatable and portable. Specifically, thinking about your kids again, if you're thinking about your kids' artwork, don't save every single thing your first child did if you're going to have 3 children, because that third child is not going to have as much as the first child. True fact, Joey and Abby are 18 months apart in age, and I made Joey's baby scrapbooks. And when Abby was born, when we were waiting for her to adopt her, I went through Joey's scrapbook and I made a list on a piece of paper of every single 2-page spread in that scrapbook that I had done for him. His first bath, his first bottle, his first, you know, haircut, his first Cheerios, his first, all of those things. I wrote them on a piece of paper. And I was a scrapbooker at the time. That was my job. And so it was my job to do scrapbooks. No big deal. You would think I would take just as many pictures of my second child. You don't. Like, you just don't. Like, it may be their first bath, but you've done a bath before. So it's not your first baby having a bath. So every month when I would pay our monthly bills, I would pull that piece of paper out and I would scan down that list and make sure I had taken photos of her that I had taken of him. And there were many months where I had missed things like, oh shoot, we started cereal, or oh shoot, we did this. And then I would just snap a few pictures for her the next time we had cereal, even though it was like her third time she had cereal instead of her first time she had cereal. Her scrapbook is not as big as his, but it's very close. And so I was very cognizant of making sure they had the same. And it's a darn good thing too, because my firstborn Joey is like, oh, that's great. Thanks, Mom. My secondborn Abby is like, did you do for me exactly what you did for Joey? Like, did he get more milk? Did he get more cake? Did he get more pie? I want everything he had and more. It's important to kids what we save. And so when you save the kids' artwork, you know, think about, all right, they're each going to get one artwork binder, and I'm going to pick my favorite 100 pieces and put it in there. 100 pieces, you guys, will fit in 1 2-inch binder. You don't have to save everything. Just save the ones that are the most useful, make you feel good, and have happy memories. I can't imagine not having any of my kids' artwork or our physical photo albums. I love physical photos. I could never get rid of all of our paper. Okay, so now that I hopefully have you thinking, like, I mean, if this isn't the first podcast you've listened to, you know I'm a paperaholic. So we're always going to talk about paper. And I think that is a great item to talk about in relation to the KonMari Spark Joy method, because I think most people can say paper is not really something you initially think of as sparking some joy. We're going to talk for the remainder of this podcast about 2 different kinds of paper: actionable paper and reference paper. They have different usefulness, different profitability, and different portability. But we are not going to talk about files. I stopped talking about files a couple of years ago. I no longer think you should even have a filing cabinet for a couple of reasons. Number one, they're not portable. Number two, the majority of what you put in a file, you will never reference again. And they have no constraint of space. So a couple podcasts ago, I talked to you about this trifecta of time, money, and motivation. And what money does is it offers a constraint, like you only have so much money, which limits what time and motivation you have for things. Filing cabinets have no constraint. Like you could just buy another filing cabinet. You could just buy more files. Like you can have as many files as you possibly want. There's no limiting factor for the amount of papers you keep if you're using a filing cabinet because you just get another one. Instead of filing cabinets, we're going to talk about binders. And you can, yes, you can get another binder, but I want your binder to have a purpose. There are four binders that I recommend every family has, and then a couple more that are optional. So I think everyone should have a financial binder, a medical binder for each family member, a household reference binder, which is everything related to your house if you're going to sell it, or if you're renting or leasing, and then a household operations binder, which is everything related to you being the heart of the home and how your family celebrates holidays, milestones, all of those kinds of things. Then there's some optional binders. If you have kids that need an IEP, there's an IEP binder. If you want to do those kids' memory albums I told you about with their artwork, I do not recommend putting kids' artwork in bins. Again, a bin has no constraint. You just add another bin and another bin and another bin. Pretty soon you have a storage space full of kids' artwork from 20 years ago that, newsflash, they do not want. So binders. Binders are portable, and binders give you a constraint of space. So while I have one financial binder, all my binders are 2-inch binders, that is all of our financial documents in our entire house. There are no documents any other place. They're all in that one binder. And when you have a binder, you don't keep the 8th notification of your insurance renewal. You get rid of the other 7 and you only keep the most current. It causes you to constantly purge and replace with the most current, and yet everything is in one binder and you can grab it and you can easily answer any questions that you need. So binders replace your filing cabinet. They offer a constraint of space, a portability in case you need to evacuate for the horrible fires that happen in California or the hurricanes that happen in Florida and on the East Coast or in Texas. Like if you need to leave your house, you can grab even 7 or 8 binders, but you're not going to be able to move your filing cabinet. Also, my household reference binder, I access at least every single week. I'm a homeowner of I don't even know how old our house is, but I know we've lived here 22 years. I think it's like 40 years old. There's always something like, what was that paint color? How do I reprogram the garage door code? When was the last time we got the house painted? Whatever. I'm always looking in that binder for information to take care of my house, just like I take care of the people. So that is reference paper. Any useful paper then goes into one of these binders where it's easy to access it, easy to keep it updated, and easy to move it if you were to move houses or needed to evacuate. The second kind of paper, which is the paper that is everywhere staring you in your house, in your face, is actionable. This is your to-do list and the kitchen counter paper and the bills and the mail and the paper that come in from the kids' school and the paper you left in the car and receipts and all of that paperwork that just seems to be like everywhere. And the usefulness of this paper is usually a reminder to do something, a reminder to pay a bill online, a reminder to send in that snack to the kids' school, a reminder to change your air filter this month, you're welcome, a reminder to give your dog the flea and tick medicine, just basically reminders and to-do lists. The problem is it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's in your purse, it's in your car, it's in your laundry room, it's at your nightstand, it's in the kitchen, it's on the dining room table. They're just papers everywhere. And while we can't discard all of these papers because they are reminders and they have actionable to-dos associated with them, we can make them feel better, have happy memories, and be more useful. And the way we do that is by putting it in a Sunday basket. So you have one basket in the kitchen where you and your entire family member can drop all of these actionable to-dos, reminders, things that need to be gone through. And then once a week, you go through it. Now, when you go through your mail, do you get rid of 85%? Yeah, but you need the 15% you saved, right? When you go through your Sunday basket on Sunday, those of you who are doing it, you're like, yeah, I spend so much time just getting rid of stuff in the Sunday basket. Yes, but do you know where that stuff lived before it was in the Sunday basket? Your mind. In your mind. Your Sunday basket, when you start using it, houses paper, but really it houses all of your actionable to-dos so that your mind is free to think about anything else. In our Sunday baskets, if you do the Sunday basket, you know that we grab post-it notes or index cards or the back of an envelope, doesn't matter. And every single thought we have, brilliant idea, thing that needs to be purchased, item that needs to be fixed, request from a kid or a spouse, whatever, any idea whatsoever, we write on an index card and we throw it in our Sunday basket. Last week, I put the greatest things in my Sunday basket. I watched a video of, I can't remember who it was, and she was going through her morning routine and she was showing all of the different makeup that she used. And I wrote down all of the things that I thought would be fun to try on a post-it note and I put them in my Sunday basket. I'm grabbing my slash pocket right now. It's called Fun. Oh, I got a Sky Miles thing for Delta in the mail. And I was like, yeah, I want to find out how many Sky Miles I have and what I can do with that. Put that in my Sunday basket. That's fun. It's my birthday month, so I got a little note from Brighton saying that I could go spend $25. Went in my Sunday basket. Fun. I have a list of things that I want to do for travel this year that I just put down on a post-it note. Like, I want to find a travel agent. I want to find podcasts to listen to. I want to figure out how to do these frequent points and frequent flyer things. Like, I've picked one hotel, one rental car, and one airline that I fly every single time, and I've done that for a year, but I have no idea what I'm earning in points or if they're congruous and all that kind of stuff. Oh, I was at my mom's house last week, and she has all these sayings on the wall, you know, that are like, you can cut them out with a silhouette, which I don't have, or a Cricut, and you use the stuff to wipe them on the walls, to scrape them on the walls, and then it looks like you painted words on the wall. It's called wall words, so I wrote that down because I want to do that. I have to change the light bulb in my bathtub. I want to redo our kitchen cabinets, like just really not redo them, but like scrub them down and clean them. And I found this new stuff that will make the wood looks better. These are all things that I just wrote down. I'm just reading you stuff that's literally in my Sunday basket. These are all ideas that I have. And as soon as I write them down and I put them in my Sunday basket, then I no longer think about them. I think we're so anxious to get rid of paper and go digital that we miss what paper does for us. Being able to grab a piece of paper, write down a note, and know that you are going to remember it, eventually, hopefully, allows your brain to stop thinking about it. Sometimes when I put something in a digital solution, I'm just not a digital person, and I forget how to go check the... I'm just not good at saving anything digitally. And because I'm not, my brain knows I'm not. So my brain keeps bothering me. Yeah. But we want to go try that new highlighter. Remember the highlighter. Get the highlighter. Go to Sephora. Get the highlighter. I'm not going to go to Sephora for like months. I'm never going to remember. And then I'm going to get to Sephora and I'm not going to remember what the thing was that I wanted to go there for. Like, it's just not the way my brain works. My brain works in analog. It works in index cards, like writing it down on an index card and then some Sunday going through my Sunday basket and going, oh yeah, there's this new highlighter and I'm actually going to be at the mall this week. So I'm going to put this index card in my purse so I remember what the highlighter was I wanted to check out at Sephora and see if it's something that I want to buy. Paper can be useful. It can make you feel good if you control it. Paper doesn't have to control you. You control your paper. So that's my little rant on paper and sparking joy. I really love paper. So I don't want to get rid of all of it. I do agree that 85% of the totality of paper in your house can be shredded, but 15% cannot. And you definitely can't get rid of all of your filing cabinets and the rest can go into binders and a Sunday basket, except for, and this could be an only American thing as well, you need to keep your tax returns for the last 7 years. Because we deduct a lot of stuff, our tax returns are not thin, they are thick. And all of our supporting documentation. So I do still have one filing cabinet, and the only thing that is left in there is all of our tax return documentation and the really, really long papers that you get when you buy a house that will not fit in a binder. So keep those in a filing cabinet, make everything else portable, and find one place where you put all of your actionable to-dos. If you want to learn more, I have a whole podcast about paper because I'm literally a paperaholic. It's called Sunday Basket. So just search wherever you're listening to this podcast, go search for Sunday Basket Podcast, and I will start at the beginning, help you get your to-do list organized, that Sunday basket set up, and then we'll go through all of the binders. Hope you guys have a great week.